We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal. The Solid
Verbal. Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal Twos Cruise, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand. Joining me over there, Lieutenant Commander Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
You didn't say ahoy. You didn't say welcome to the high seas, Ty. Marty Smith would be so disappointed.
I'm still getting used to this whole captain's routine, Dan. Ahoy, mateys. Welcome back in to the Solid Verbal Twos Cruise. Now, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Ty. But as you know, I walk back to the cloffice, the dungeon, whatever you want to call my recording area from the office at which I work. And I get to thinking, I get to figuring out how I feel about the show, looking for signs. You know, I'm always about that. And Jody with an I sends me a text message that says, and this is not close to where we live, but it's not far. Okay.
Okay.
Escaped prisoner on the loose.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I think eventually they caught him. But I was reading about the perimeter, the radius, the swarms of police dispatched to the area. You know, obviously, my son probably not in that area going for a walk. He, turns out he was napping, so everything was cool. But it got me to thinking how easy it is to transition into our first game on the twos. Which we'll go into in a second. But Ty, what should people know about this Tuesday show that is sandwiched between our recap show on Sundays and our preview show that we record on Wednesdays?
Well, Dan, the show that we do on Sunday and the show that we do on Thursday, that's more of a straightforward preview slash recap type thing.
Yeah.
What we're going for here is really an audio experience, I think. In the realm of college football, we decided, thankfully, because we have such ardent listeners of the show, we decided we were going to go with more of a oceanic theme to this whole thing. So it's a cruise. You are sailing with us on the high seas. At some point here very soon, we'll be in international waters, at which point we can talk about pretty much anything we want.
Yeah.
Unfettered from the old college football laws that might have held us down before when we were on land. So here we are. We've been doing this now. I don't know how many we've done. This is like six or seven.
Yeah.
Two cruises that we've all been part of. The response has been amazing.
Yeah.
The emails that we get at solidverbal@gmail.com never cease to amaze me. I can't tell you how many different ideas we've gotten for this very twos cruise. We are loading up our slate of remaining twos cruises with some of those ideas that have come in. If you have anything, please do reach out. solidverbal@gmail.com is the email. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the usual hotspots, as well as solidverbal.reddit.com, which is a teeming community of Verballers, started by Verballers, and of course operated by Verballers as well. Don't know if I forgot anything. If you want to subscribe to the show,
yeah,
3 episodes a week. Subscribe right now out on Apple, on Google, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, all the usual spots. Give us a star rating and or a review. We very much would appreciate it.
And special thanks to everybody who is either a nautical enthusiast or professional who has submitted ideas for segments and games on the cruise. And it's in such marvelous detail. We'll get an email that says, hey, quick idea for the Twos cruise. You could look at teams that are looking like they'll be really good by the end of the season, but are still struggling now. And you can call it the aft shall spin yonder. The colloquialisms that are on board with your ideas. I love them all. So, because I have mentioned setting up a perimeter for an alleged criminal in my general vicinity.
Right.
The first game we're playing is inspired by a terrific scene in the movie Castaway. Listen right now.
It's a search area of 500,000 square miles. It's twice the size of Texas.
Okay. Ty.
Yeah.
It's called search area, obviously. So you heard in that clip, Tom Hanks, I forget his character's name, calculating on a cave wall on the island for Wilson what the search perimeter must be for him, about over 500,000 square miles.
Right.
So what I have now, I have 5 offenses. I'm sticking with offenses. 5 offenses that, you know, a lot of searching is needed to find these, let's call them lost at sea, castaway offenses. And we're going to figure out whether or not the search area for these offenses is reasonable. You know, maybe we'll find it pretty big, like the size of Texas, or just pretty daunting and enormous, double the size of Texas. So smaller than Texas, the size of Texas, 268,000 square miles, or double the size of Texas. Thank you to Tom Hanks with a very mixed ending in Castaway. Maybe we can...
Chuck Nolan, by the way.
Chuck Nolan, thank you very
character
much.
Character name, FYI.
Our first offense.
Yeah.
You tell me, Ty. We're going to start with a dear, dear love of yours. The TCU Horned Frogs offense.
Oh, God.
How much of a search perimeter is needed for this offense that, again, struggled when this was a relative game against Iowa State on the road?
So are we talking the bigger the search perimeter, the worse the offense? Is that
going to need
a
lot of searching? Yes. Yeah. If it's twice the size of Texas, yes.
So here's what's interesting about TCU. I actually dug back through your old Danalytics sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that thing? I believe it's now up to date.
Yeah, it is.
And
not after this past weekend, but through last week. Yeah.
Close enough, right?
Yeah.
And what I found interesting is that relative to the 2018 season, TCU is actually a lot better in points per drive than they were.
Yeah.
Which is saying something because they're still pretty bad. Like if you go and look at yards per play and obviously look at the on-field results, TCU is clearly not getting it done. Statistically speaking, though, at least in terms of points, better than last year. One of the better teams in the country. My problem with TCU is I don't know what to expect from the offense. I don't know what I'm going to get week in and week out. We saw them lose pretty handily to Iowa State this past weekend. Still lingering questions at quarterback. I was hoping maybe that the running game could pick up enough of the slack that that wouldn't be as big of a concern. The defense still isn't all the way back. I realize we're talking about offense here.
Yes.
I'm going twice the size of Texas with my search area for TCU, if only because there really does lack a focus at this point. There's nothing that I can truly hang my hat on, and that's quite disconcerting.
I have it just as the size of Texas, and I have that because they've been able to run the ball this season, and like you mentioned, they finished 117th last season in offensive points per drive. So, there was work to be done, and I think they've improved a little bit. Now, there's the Max Duggan factor, true freshman truths, as we mentioned on the recap show, they're evident. But because there is speed and interesting talent at receiver, because there's talent at running back, I think even with some early quarterback struggles, I think by the end of the year, they will have found more. I think there's a character to Max Duggan that has me encouraged. There's a lot of searching left. But the defenses that they're going to be facing from here on out are not necessarily going to stomp on them. So I'm going to go size of Texas. So the sort of medium answer.
Medium answer. Now, medium answer. See, and there's also kind of like the personal element for me with TCU.
I know. It's deep.
It is. Okay. Where are we going next?
Next one. Former Big 12 school, Nebraska.
Ooh.
A huge time struggle that saw Adrian Martinez beat up and leave the game. I think Luke McCaffrey and Noah Vedral, I think that's how you pronounce his last name. They both came in for some time. J.D. Spielman missed some time. It's been a rough year for Nebraska's offense. Really uneven, inconsistent. To you, with a good chunk of Nebraska's schedule left, and we saw obviously what happened against Ohio State. Smaller size of, double the size of Texas.
I'll go the size of Texas. Again, okay. I'll use your statistic from your analytics, your points per drive, and even if it's a week behind, it still sort of communicates the general point that Nebraska, in terms of that statistic, points per drive, just marginally worse from a year ago. Hasn't taken a quantum leap forward.
Is that a good sign, though, or this early in the season?
I don't know. I really don't know. You know, like, there are still some heavy hitters left on that schedule for Nebraska.
Right.
And that concerns me, looking at that statistic. The yards per play thing is decidedly very average relative to the rest of college football. I like Adrian Martinez. I don't like the injury. I like J.D. Spielman. I don't like his injury either. So as we said time and again on the show, when I was busy dogging the Nebraska defense, Nebraska fans were busy dogging me that I should have been talking about their inconsistency on offense.
Right.
I still think Scott Frost will get it figured out. We knew that it might be rough going here and there for the Cornhuskers this season, so I'm not too worried. I think they've got their guy at quarterback, and that can cover up a lot of sins. So just give me the size of Texas for this one.
Yeah, still beat up at quarterback. The line hasn't been great, but this might be the whole reason. The Wandale Robinson factor, who at one point had, like, deep into the game, had more yardage than the rest of his offense.
Yeah.
The good news is they have Indiana, Purdue, and Maryland left on the schedule. So there are opportunities. So in essence, this search perimeter is dotted with little islands.
That's right.
That we can find something on.
An archipelago?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah, okay.
So I have it the size of. I'm not crazy optimistic, especially with some guys beat up right now, but past history shows to me that there's going to be some more evolution. So I have the size of. Next team, Ty.
Next team.
The Michigan Wolverines.
Ooh, boy.
So the Michigan Wolverines with another struggly weekend this week in a winning effort against Iowa, 10 points early on, final three quarters, 0 points.
The points per drive statistic. Oh,
I love that you're hammering this week.
Well, it's a frame of reference.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a frame of reference. When we're trying to figure out offensive output, offensive efficiency, we're looking at yards per play, we're looking at points per drive, statistics such as that.
Yeah.
And I'm not usually a huge proponent of this, but it's actually a fairly good measure.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan's offense, and this might be a little bit of an older statistic because
it now is. We can include Iowa into this, yeah.
But Michigan was okay in terms of points per drive. They're okay in that
this
statistic.
Is where that statistic is misleading them.
Well, exactly. And it runs counter to what they do on a per play basis.
Right.
Which is strange to me. And I'm not sure I know exactly how to interpret that kind of...
I think
of
the Iowa factor is skewing it.
Mismatch. Yeah. I don't know where I come down on this. I don't know how big of a radius. Like, I think we know the problem. I think the problem is that Michigan has not gotten the kind of output offensively that they've wanted. And so in order to try and fix that, Jim Harbaugh went out. He brought in Josh Gattis. They're installing a new system. They've got a lot of playmakers on that offensive side of the football. Not the least of which is their offensive line, which was supposed to be one of the best in the Big Ten, maybe even the country. And it hasn't quite performed.
Okay.
It's taking a while for this offense to take. I think the search grid is relatively small. I think the problem is that just the new system is not taking. At some point, it's going to click and they're going to be fine. But the question remains, how soon is that going to happen? And is it going to happen in time for some of their bigger games against Penn State, against Notre Dame, against Ohio State later in the year?
I don't know why you have so much faith at this point.
Because I picked him for the playoff, Dan. I'm not ready to give up hope.
No. Abandon tie. I mean, the Michigan might win games. They might, you know, win something ugly. But we've now seen them against two of the better. Probably not the best, but two of the better. I think Ohio State's defense is probably looking like the best right now in the conference. Defenses in the Big Ten in Iowa and Wisconsin. We have a chunk of data right now. And the actual visuals of watching Michigan's offense, don't feel good about Shea Patterson, right? You don't feel good.
No. Now, you know what? Shea Patterson is throwing a lot off his back foot. A lot of tentative throws coming out of Shea Patterson. And
I don't feel good about this line.
I felt better about it before I saw him play this year. They've looked awful.
I feel good about Nico Collins in terms of consistently able to make plays, not necessarily having the opportunity to.
Sure.
If you're telling me the quarterback and the line and the consistency and availability of skill position guys, nobody's on the same page. Nobody's been playing snap to snap really well unit-wise. I think it's double the size of Texas. It's hard to see a turnaround at this point.
It is. It's a system-wide thing. You know, you can't really point to any one key factor and say that's the reason why. Like, at least with TCU, they've not been good on offense. But
right.
We know that at the quarterback position, they're experiencing big-time growing pains with Max Duggan.
Yeah.
Like, we know that. On the Michigan side, they should be a lot better than they are. And the fact that they're not yet midway through the season is really disconcerting. You know what? Twice the size of Texas. What the hell? Texas with the dollar sign. Let's do it.
Did you play peewee basketball, Ty?
Peewee, like when I was younger?
Like kids basketball, like a park league or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're like 9 years old or something?
Sure. I ran to the corner and I was a chucker. I chucked up the throws.
Right. Yeah. Would you consider yourself to be a rebounding machine?
Absolutely not.
Okay. So 3 games into the 8-game season, 10-game season, it was clear that you were not a rebounding machine.
This is factually correct, yes.
Any of the parents attending game 7 were like, Ty's going to clean up the glass today. Like, was there any reason to think that the results were going to change?
But I also wasn't trying. That was not my role on the team.
Arguably. to expect different results at a certain point seems kind of
foolish. Well, hey, case in
point.
Were
you nailing all of your threes?
No. Okay. No, of course not. That's probably a better example. But case in point here with Michigan is the same reason why I liked Wisconsin. It's the same reason why, because what data do we have at this point to expect a sudden turnaround?
Right.
And the answer is not much.
Not much.
Not much. So we agree. We agree. Where are we going next?
We're at the acceptance stage. Let's go to Oregon's offense, which I think is in a different sort of category because as a team, they've won games.
They have.
And they've been impressed. They were mostly impressive even in a losing effort as a team against Auburn. Mostly.
Mostly. Yeah,
so,
I mean, this is still a pretty good offense, I think. And whenever you've got a pro-caliber quarterback in Justin Herbert, that instantly, right off the bat, is going to limit the size of the search area here. So right. I would say smaller than Texas for Oregon.
I'm with you on smaller. I still think there's a perimeter needed to find something, though. I still think we are setting up a square mileage that's pretty significant. I have it smaller than Texas. I'm trying to think, like, is it Colorado? Is there a specific state that's still pretty large that there's still, you know, I don't know if California, I don't know the size compares to Texas, but it's significant.
Florida? And maybe go Florida. Florida's a big state.
Florida is a big state. So my reasoning is they have a quarterback, they have an offensive line, and the skill talent consistently is not performing at a high level. And I don't know if they can will that into happening. They've gotten healthier there. Looks like C.J. Verdell, starting running back, who started out playing really well against Cal. Looks like he just twisted his ankle. It's nothing worse. So it looks to be potentially available for this week's Friday night game against Colorado. But against some of the tougher defenses, if you can't march down the field and be in sync with your skill guys, like Justin Herbert hasn't been outside of his tight end, there's a lot of searching left. This should be a top 20 offense, and it looks like a top 45-ish, 50-ish. So, still some searching, but yes, I don't think it's a disaster.
One more team on the list here. I see Texas A&M, Dan.
Let's stick with the theme, smaller size of or double the size of Texas. Texas A&M's offense has been, well, one, beat up, and two, incredibly disappointing.
Yeah.
How far and wide are we searching?
It's been worse than last year. I think the size of Texas is apt here. I like Kellen Mond, though not as much as I thought preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've said for a few weeks running here, it feels like it all is on him. If he's not getting the job done somehow, some way, not going to happen for A&M. So I think it's a fairly limited search grid in that the quarterback is respectable enough, serviceable enough, but he needs some players around him to step up and make this offense better.
So I don't know what the comparison nautically oceanic, I don't know, I was making up a word there. Texas A&M has Georgia, Alabama, and LSU left on their schedule. I don't want to consider them a squall, tropical storm.
That's a typhoon.
That is a typhoon, Dan.
Yeah.
To throw off the scent of this search party for the offense. An offense down at starting running back, having drop issues at receiver. Kellen Mond makes throws, but he's not an upper half of the SEC quarterback, I don't think. I don't think the offense is designed necessarily correctly for his skill set. He should be maybe running a little bit more. The line hasn't been great. I have it as double the size of Texas because of those typhoons left to navigate.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's kind of an under-the-radar mess.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah. And I don't like to see it. I want a competitive Texas A&M in the SEC West, but it's hard to look through those. Okay. So that's search area, Ty. You ready to move on to game number two?
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right. Well, before we move on to game number two, Dan, we need to remind everyone about our good friends over at Roback Activewear.
Oh, yeah.
Roback. Perhaps you've seen some of their viral videos on Instagram. Maybe you've seen a Heisman winner like our boy Baker Mayfield. Or countless other players rocking their Roback gear. Roback makes the most comfortable performance polos, tees, and Q-zip pullovers in the game. I can attest to it. You heard me say it a while ago. The Solid Wife has now taken all of mine.
Whoa.
She took it and hit it. Literally hit it. I have no idea where the box is anymore. It's gone. So I might actually have to reach back out to our friends and see if I can get a hat or, you know, just something. Throw me a bone so that I can wear this proudly, being so they're a sponsor of the Verbal, and I don't have to go rummaging through my house trying to find it.
Yeah, come on. Help Ty out. That's testimony right there. It's already all been stolen.
They went through over 20 iterations to find the perfect collar for their signature polos. Their wicking performance fabric, it's soft as a pillow. And the fit is just right. You can wear it tucked in or untucked. Now, with tailgating going on, it's in full swing. They've got you covered. A stacked lineup of game day polos, perfect for the fall in your favorite school's colors. Plus, they've got subtle dog logo, which didn't appeal to me before I got a dog, but now I'm all in.
Now you're in, yeah.
I am all in on the dog logo, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to be asking, where'd you get that? Where'd you get that? They also make one called the Admiral, a Q-zip, which is very fitting here on the Two's Cruise.
Yeah.
They shared some of their stuff with us. As we said, we're both huge fans of it. If you head on out to roback.com, that's R-H-O-B-A-C-K.com today, use the promo code SOLID20, S-O-L-I-D-2-0. You will get 20% off your first order. Again, check out roback.com. Use the promo code SOLID20. There are new friends. We love them. We've gotten great feedback so far. We know you will too. Roback.com. Promo code SOLID20, Dan.
All right. So you've heard Search Area. Let's play a new game. And you hear the dramatic music.
Oh, okay.
Gulf, Bay, or Lagoon?
Oh.
Gulf, Bay, or Lagoon? Now, I had to do a lot of searching to make sure I knew the differences between each one of these things.
Okay.
So we're going to go with the working knowledge that gulfs are bigger than bays and have, I think, narrower entrances. I don't know. Bays are smaller. In lagoons, there's a sandbar that separates them from the giant body of water. So they're smaller and a little separated.
Sure. So, right.
Gulf, bay, or lagoon. And we're going to use these terms to figure out how far apart these two teams are that have upcoming huge games against each other.
Whoa. Okay.
So a gulf will mean they're very far apart. The team that is favored should be winning this game comfortably. A bay is, you know, definitely ahead, but, you know, whatever happens, happens. A lagoon is neck and neck. Gulf, bay, or lagoon. Ty, let's start here.
Okay.
Florida, Georgia.
Florida, Georgia. So this is a neutral site game.
Correct.
Neutral site game, world's largest outdoor cocktail party in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. In terms of a projected point spread.
Yeah.
On a neutral field, which is fitting for this game, this would definitely fall into the golf category. Projected point spread is Georgia by 10.
Whoa. Okay.
So that's a pretty good number there.
I feel like that's an accurate representation of the distance between Georgia and Florida as a 2019 program, health included.
I do.
Wow.
I really do. I think that the Florida defense is far and away the best part of the Florida team. Mm-hmm. The offense, even though Kyle Trask has looked good enough in his relief effort of Felipe Franks after the Franks injury, I still think there are open questions about his effectiveness against a really good, fast defense like Georgia. Okay. And, you know, I'm just such a huge fan of Jake Fromm. What he gives that Georgia offense is veteran leadership, a steady hand. He doesn't make stupid throws, doesn't turn the ball over. He's a really good guy to have on your team, Dan. And if you were putting up better numbers, he would probably get some Heisman nods.
Yeah.
So for me, I go golf here. I think I agree with that projected point spread.
A golf. Oh, man.
Yeah, I do.
I'm going to say a lagoon.
Really?
I think it's actually very close. I think the way that Georgia tightened up against Notre Dame's defense means to me that it's just hard for me to see Georgia being able to separate themselves from especially a secondary that looks to be that strong. And it's not like the score last year, I know, was, what, a 18-19 point game, a win for Georgia. I think Florida's closed the gap to at least around a touchdown. I think it's a single-digit game. I think, you know, if there's a wild turnover, Florida can win this game. I have Georgia barely better than Florida right now. I think the Gators are strong.
I think they're strong.
Year two of Dan Mullen, I think it's going to be a bit nice jump against the Dogs.
I am curious to see the extent to which Florida can get any traction on the ground against Georgia.
I don't think they will, but I don't think they're going to really try all that hard to.
Okay. We disagree. We're next.
All right. Next team. Next matchup. Let's talk about Ohio State and Penn State, Ty. The game is at Ohio State.
Yes. Projected point spread here on a neutral site, again, neutral site, is about 7.5. So typically, given the games at Ohio State, you might be inclined to throw an extra 3 points on there. I don't think I'd want to throw that many on. I think that'd be too much. So I'll say 7.5 feels about right to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this season, I'm on the bigger bay side of things here.
Oh, so somewhere between a bay and a gulf.
Yeah.
What scares you about Penn State now that they really seem to have more momentum? Granted, not against great teams, but the defense looking especially dangerous.
The defense looks really good, but so does Ohio State's. Yeah. And that's part of the issue I have here. Now, we're going to find out more about Penn State this coming week when they square off against Iowa in the nightcap.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good defense. Pretty solid team for the most part in the Iowa Hawkeyes. Didn't play the prettiest game, a week ago, but nonetheless.
I would go as far as saying really good defense, but yes.
Really good defense. Definitely a cut above some of the other teams that Penn State's played so far this season. I have open questions about Sean Clifford. He's looked really good. He's gotten better each game, mm-hmm. as has the defense, but against an Ohio State team that, as Verboller Dane has been telling us for weeks on end here, he just keeps chirping it, saying that this might be the best Ohio State team he's ever seen. The more I watch...
You're putting so much stock into this anonymous listener. I like it.
The more I watch Ohio State with J.K. Dobbins and Justin Fields and seemingly them having solved the defensive quandary they were in a year ago, mm-hmm. I just find it really hard to believe that anyone's going to stop them, especially with this game at Ohio State. I could see them winning by, you know, 7, 8, 10 points here.
So as we look at Ohio State's schedule right now, it looks like Penn State is the team that is most likely to hang with and make it a tight game late against Ohio State, because it does not look like Michigan's offense will be able to keep up, right?
Right. No, I think that's right.
Penn State's offense is a more open-ended situation because, yes, they struggled against a good defense in Pitt, but that was early on with a new quarterback. I still think there's opportunity. I think, what, it was Noah Cain who stepped
Noah
up
Cain.
Nicely this past weekend.
Yep.
There's enough speed, and we saw what KJ Hamler did, what was it, last year against Ohio State for Penn State?
Sure.
There's speed. There's talent. I think if there is a game, and to say that Ohio State is just not going to be tested is to say they're a perfect team. They are, and I can't say that about a first-year starting quarterback, not right now. So I think it's actually Lagoon. I think when an excellent defense with at least an above-average offense will make this a Lagoon. If Ohio State wins this game, it'll be by single digits, even last second. I think Penn State will push them to the brink because of that defense's ability to swarm, harass, create havoc, and turn over Ohio State.
There are a couple weeks yet before this game. And one thing that I'd mention, and forgive me here, I saw the stat out on Twitter. Some friends of mine were sending it around. But the majority of Penn State's touchdowns this year have come from freshmen and sophomores. They're a very young team.
Yes.
And typically young teams take a little while to get churned up. Mm-hmm. To get things going in a positive direction. I think we've seen that pretty reliably from week to week from Penn State, that they are getting better on the offensive side of the ball. And that was a huge question, given the fact that Trace McSorley left the program, most winningest quarterback in program history. Like that's a big thing that you got to fill starting out the 2019 season. And I think Sean Clifford is getting there. Not quite there, but he's getting there. He's having these younger guys step up around him. And it could be a couple of weeks from now when Penn State goes to Columbus that those younger underclassmen are, in effect, veterans. But we'll see. We'll see. I remain a bit skeptical.
I think Penn State probably has somewhere in the vicinity of a top 20 offense if things are operating well enough.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, that's much more than Michigan State can say. And they were there for, a half, quarter and a half.
All right. Where are we going next?
Let's go to Memphis and SMU, undefeated teams in the American. I know you probably have a projected spread here. The game is at Memphis, and Memphis very, very quietly, looking more complete than usual.
Memphis
SMU sneaking by Tulsa.
Yeah, Memphis projected spread is 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
3.5, the game's at home. So again, rule of thumb, tack on like 3, 3.5 points. So stands to reason Memphis could be about a touchdown favorite here.
Right.
At home.
Memphis 5-0. I guess the most impressive team that they've beaten was, it's Ole Miss or it's Navy. Like they're not tested. So we don't have a complete picture anywhere near it, but there's a lot of familiar players. Brady White has played really well. I believe their running back's last name is Gainwell, which is a good sign.
That's a good name for a running back.
DeMonte Coxey has played well in his career. Like there are known quantities. Obviously, the tight end is Magnifico, I believe.
Mm.
So we don't know a lot about Memphis. We know a little bit more about SMU. They take home the skillet. They pull out a close game, so we know that they're at least battle-tested in a tight situation. I think it's a Lagoon. I really do.
I think I'm with you.
I think it's Lagoon bordering on Bay, but I have to skew Lagoon because we just haven't seen Memphis against a definitely good team.
Yeah, I think I agree with you.
And a definitely talented team.
And on the SMU side, too. I don't know if we've seen a test like this. Memphis is a pretty good team.
Yeah.
All right.
Next team, next matchup.
All right, next game here is Minnesota playing host to Wisconsin. Now, again, neutral site, point spread. We've got Wisconsin minus 9, rule of thumb, maybe knock a couple off. Could see it around a touchdown at kickoff.
Yeah, 6 or 7, yeah.
In favor of Wisconsin, they'd be on the road. I think it's a bigger gap than that, to be honest. If I were betting...
In which direction?
If I were betting, I would go Wisconsin there, because Minnesota's been pulling out some of these games by the skin of their teeth. And not that PJ Fleck hasn't done a good job, and certainly not that he hasn't won the games before him, but they haven't played a team like Wisconsin. Not a team with this kind of defense. And their offense does leave some to be desired here. So my inclination is to say golf.
You think Minnesota's offense leaves a lot to be desired?
I do.
They've been playing well on offense. I think so.
Who have they played?
Minnesota?
Have they played a defense as good as Wisconsin's?
The Illinois Fighting Illini are a member of the Big Ten. No, I don't believe they have. They definitely have not. But the fact remains, Tanner Morgan has played pretty well. As a team, they've improved on both sides of the ball. They have proven weapons on offense. And what happened in this game last year? Different Wisconsin team, for sure.
Weird game.
I'll tell you what happened. Minnesota won in Madison by 22 points. So,
yeah, okay.
It's not foreign that Minnesota can win this game. I have it as a bay. I have it as a bay, provided Wisconsin stays a lot healthier than they were by the end of last season. Because of the Jonathan Taylor factor, because even though Minnesota's defense appears to be a little feistier than it was early on in the season, I just think there are too many ways for Wisconsin to literally run away with this. I'm not saying Minnesota at all is smoke and mirrors. I think they're going to have a nice season, but I think it's still a bay at full health.
I think a bay at minimum.
Yeah. Wow. So I don't think did I have any gulfs? No, I had 3 lagoons and 2 bays.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right.
That's the game. Next one, Ty. This one's going to be this is difficult, Ty.
Okay.
This one's a tough one. The name of this game, as you can now hear, which, by the way, that is the theme song to the wrestler.
Is that Tugboat?
That's Tugboat.
Nice.
Early 90s, late 80s.
Yeah.
Tag team partner of Earthquake. I did a lot of real name Fred Otten. Mm-hmm. Came up in the Hulk Hogan camp, Ty.
He looks like a Fred Otten.
He does look like a Fred Otten. Yeah. Was he good? Did you remember liking him, disliking him?
I was a huge Tugboat fan, yeah.
Was it an athletic situation?
No,
all mass.
It was a lot of mass. It was an offensive line type of situation.
That's perfect. Because the name of this game is Tugging the Bull Barge.
Oh.
Barge, generally large mass floating ship. Towing things,
yep.
Garbage sometimes, just cargo. First team, we're going to try to figure out. It's not a drive to 6 tie if you're on water. Bowl eligibility. Right. Do these teams get there? Boston College, currently 3-3. What say you?
Currently 3-3. They've got 2 definite losses on the schedule at Clemson and at Notre Dame. And I probably shouldn't say that about Notre Dame because there's some history there, but
bulletin board material.
I feel reasonably confident, which means that they need to win 3 of NC State, at Syracuse, Florida State, and at Pitt. Mm-hmm. Can they win 3 of those 4? I say no.
Okay.
No. So I think they are falling short of reaching the canal.
To transport themselves to. So, I mean, we could say sunscreen or beanie if we really want to commit to the bit. Sunscreen, they'll be going to a bowl, hopefully in a warm place. Beanie, staying home in Boston.
Or we could go, no. We got to go with the full-on, like, Panama Canal thing. Like, are they going to make it from the Atlantic to the Pacific?
Oh, I see what you're doing here. Okay. So you
will they make it through the isthmus?
Mm-hmm.
On the canal, I say no.
I agree. And the reason being, the offense hasn't been terrible. The defense has been the issue for the Eagles. And
which is weird, right?
It is very strange. I know they were replacing a lot from last season, but you need a little bit of fight if you're going to beat Florida State, if you're going to win in the Carrier Dome. And it doesn't look like on defense they have much, which, again, strange. So I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I think NC State and Pitt are the two, and that's at Pitt. And Pitt looks pretty decent. So,
yeah,
we agree. Next team, West Virginia.
Okay, West Virginia currently 3-2, mm-hmm. So they got 7 games left.
Yeah.
I've got Iowa State. I've got Oklahoma, a road game against Oklahoma, mm-hmm. and a road game against Baylor. Bolded as, I think, definite losses.
Iowa State's their next game, yeah.
Which means, right, Iowa State's their next game, which we'll preview a little bit on Thursday, which means they would have to win 3 of these 4 games.
Okay.
Home against Texas Tech.
Okay.
At Kansas State.
Okay.
Home against Oklahoma State and at TCU. They're beating TCU. Let's just be real. But can they beat
Fort Worth? This West Virginia team that just threw, Austin Campbell just threw 4 picks.
They're dead to me. You know this. Throw them overboard. Okay. But Texas Tech at K-State, Oklahoma State. What do you think?
I think the answer is actually yes. I think they can get to a bowl. I think you're being a little bit hard on the Mountaineers. I thought the defense was actually okay against Texas. I know that, you know, Roshan Johnson went off a little bit, but I thought they did a good job against Sam Ellinger. I think they're they can be a confusing defense. I'm not penciling in Iowa State as a win. It's in Morgantown. So I don't think it's automatic, especially with how Iowa State, and I know Baylor's looks pretty good, but with how the Clones looked in Waco, I don't think they're a bolded road team right now. So I actually have this as having a number of toss-ups, and I don't hate some of the guys, especially the skill positions on offense. So I think they can go 6-6. I don't. It's some combination of Iowa State, Kansas State, you know, Texas Tech at home. I know they have a bye before the Baylor game. So who knows if that helps just rejigger and reorganize things. So I have them, yeah. I have West Virginia making a bowl.
Do you know that my high school is...
The Concrete Kids?
The Concrete Kids. You know why it's the Concrete Kids?
Why?
Because the Atlas Cement Company produced all the cement for the Panama Canal, Dan. A little bit of symmetry here.
Oh. Then why do they... Is there a reason they spell with a K?
No idea.
Okay.
I think it's a German thing.
Oh,
okay. A lot of old Germanic influence here in Eastern Pennsylvania.
Northwestern tie.
Speaking of garbage barges.
Oh.
Northwestern is 1-4.
Yeah.
They've got games left against Ohio State and Iowa. So for all intents and purposes, let's just say 1-6.
You are penciling in Northwestern Iowa, a game that is almost certainly going to be 10-7, 10-9. You are sharpieing in Iowa for that.
I am penciling in Iowa for that.
Okay. How many points did they just score against Michigan?
Not enough.
Okay.
Their remaining games then would be at Indiana, home against Purdue, home against UMass, home against Minnesota, and at Illinois. So if you are me and you assume a loss against Ohio State and Iowa,
mm-hmm. at home, both those at
six,
home. Yeah.
1-6, that means they need to run the table on the other 5. Could they run the table in Indiana, Purdue, UMass, Minnesota, and Illinois? Yeah, I think they could. Do I think they will? No. Okay. I think the best this team does is 5-7.
So something about Northwestern's season thus far. One, I saw today that I think it's now SP Plus, not S&P Plus, the biggest gulf in 5 years between offensive and defensive units. Northwestern's defense at 125th, the defense at 8th, the offense at 125th.
Wow, that's terrible.
That is an incredible half team. That is just remarkable. But they've played a lot of games on the road. So I'm not going to tell you that, you know, the 50-50 games have been great, and as it was last weekend against Nebraska. But finishing out at home like they do, with a top 10 defense, I'm going to say the defense for Northwestern is the best unit on our list of teams that are on the barge.
I would agree. I would agree with that, yeah.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes. We've seen it year in and year out. The offense is horrific and will stay horrific. But it might be okay horrific at a certain time. I don't know. But I'm going to go with yes because of that defense. I'm going to say they can ugly up enough games. The track record has been there for nice second halves. Despite some bad offenses these past few years, I'm going to say they get there. They get to 6-6.
All right. So with that being said,
mm-hmm.
You're saying yes because of defense.
Yeah.
As we turn to Oregon State, are you saying yes because of offense?
Right now,
the Beavers are 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Utah at Cal, at Arizona, Washington, ASU, at Wazoo, at Oregon remaining on their schedule.
Yeah.
I think this is a legitimately good offense. The problem is that's a very difficult schedule.
And a very difficult defense to win with. Yeah.
And a very difficult defense to win with. So they got to win a lot of shootouts. And mm-hmm. I think they'll win a game or two in there.
Sure.
But to get to six, that's a bridge too far for me. So I say no.
All right. So they have Utah next. We'll see what the quarterback health situation is at Cal. They have a bye before they go to Arizona. Arizona is, you know, undefeated in the conference. Khalil Tate is getting healthier and healthier. You know, ASU at home is interesting. That's a letdown look ahead after SC for the Sun Devils before they play Oregon, before Arizona State plays Oregon. So they get Oregon State there in Corvallis. I'm going to say no, but I have them as a tough out in the way that we almost looked at Nebraska last season, that by the end of the season,
I agree with that.
They are a tough out. Nobody really is going to be confident going into that game if they're not especially, especially good.
No, I agree with that, Dan.
So
I'm with you.
I have it as a really impressive, maybe 4-8, 5-7, even though there are no moral victories. I think Beaver fans should feel pretty good about this offense and where it's headed.
Yeah, I'm with you. And final team here, the consummate drive for six team if we were on land.
Float to six.
The Illinois Illini. Yeah. They are 2-3 currently.
Mm-hmm.
They got home games against Michigan and Wisconsin remaining. They're on the road at Purdue, back home against Rutgers, and then on the road at both Michigan State and Iowa before coming back home to close out their year against Northwestern.
Ugh.
So, just the teams that I've highlighted here, Michigan, Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Iowa, that already gets them to seven losses.
Yeah.
Could they upset one of those four teams? Could they knock off somebody like a Michigan State or an Iowa?
I'm not seeing it. They need too much help on both sides of the ball.
Yeah. It's, man. I hate to see it, too.
It's at Purdue.
We're always rooting for this.
Yeah.
We're always rooting for this.
Even Purdue's on the road. Northwestern, maybe. If they can generate 17 points off of easy turnovers. Yeah. But...
I'm thinking 4-8 here, Dan.
It could be a 3-9 season.
Yeah.
It's Rutgers and then just toss up. Yeah. I think if they get to 4-8, that's not the worst thing.
We agree.
Okay. So,
all right.
Ty, thanks for playing. Those are our three games. Before we go, I'd like to spotlight, and we haven't done this in a week or two, but our seafaring school of the week. Last time we did this, it was the Stony Brook Fighting Seawolves, who do have a football team. I want to highlight a team that does not have a football team because there's a lot of weird seafaring schools out there with ocean adjacent or oceanic mascots.
Sure.
Shout out to the Evergreen State Gooey Ducks. And I know you're reading
Gooey Ducks?
I know you're reading this and it says Geoducks, right?
Yeah.
It's pronounced Gooey Ducks. That makes me think you've never eaten a Gooey Duck.
I've definitely never eaten a gooey duck.
Because I don't think you've been to Vancouver or Seattle or Oregon somewhere.
You are correct again.
Do you have a guess as to what a gooey duck is?
Oh, God. No.
So a gooey duck is, I believe it's in the clam family. You dig in the shallows and it sort of looks like a revolting oyster of some kind.
Oh, what is this?
Look it up.
It's like a salamander growing out of a clamshell.
It's uncomfortably phallic.
Whoa.
And it's not, you grill them, they're not bad.
No, I don't want this at all.
I had some gooey duck at an Oregon State tailgate many, many years ago. Anyway.
It's like the sea's version of a hot dog.
Oh, man. Well, there's the sea cucumber, which is probably related in some way to the gooey duck. And the gooey duck.
This thing looks like a Star Wars character. Look at this.
It's real bad.
The mascot.
It's like a shelled sea slug. That's not bad to eat.
There's so many strange combinations going on here. Speedy is the name of the mascot.
If you go on YouTube, there is a gooey duck mascot that dances around at basketball games wearing boxing gloves, potentially. I wasn't positive. And it's something, Ty.
Jeez,
Evergreen State's in Olympia, Washington. Evergreen State, the gooey ducks. Graduates include Michael Richards and Matt Groening, Ty.
Okay.
So funny people from the 90s. Both went there.
Sure.
They do have an NAIA basketball team. Last season, they went 5-21. They laid waste, though, to Portland Bible College. So they left no doubt about that. And two of those five wins came against Walla Walla University. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, you own Walla Walla. Good for you, Evergreen State. Asterisk, Walla Walla suspended their basketball team last season. Those were two forfeits. Walla Walla University is, and I don't know a lot about this, a Seventh-day Adventist institution. The rumor is they canceled the entire basketball season because members of the team were drinking beer.
Whoa.
And the coach quit, and that was that. So,
okay,
let's bring it all full circle. Evergreen State, home of this soundbite that we like to play from The Simpsons and creator Matt Groening. Stop, stop. He's already dead. I don't know if you have it at your at the ready.
Stop! He's already dead.
There it is right there.
Wow.
And they have, there are Gooey Duck songs like this one.
Dig-a-duck, dig-a-duck, dig-a-gooey duck, dig-a-duck, dig-a-gooey duck, dig-a-duck-a-day.
Shout out Fred Penner, who sings that song. And a nice little story for our Seafaring School of the Week, Ty.
Okay, well, thank
Evergreen
you.
State. Yeah.
To everyone out there for setting sail with us here on the Twos Cruise, where we talk all things college football. Put it in context while we're out there on the open seas.
Mm-hmm.
For that guy over there, Lieutenant Commander Dan Rubenstein.
Ahoy.
Or just Lieutenant Dan for short.
Yeah.
For myself, Captain Ty Hildebrandt. Thank you, as always, for setting sail with us. We will be back on Thursday morning, where we drop our Week 7 preview. A huge week of college football games. We're both pumped, amped, excited to go through all this action. Going to be a fun one. In the meantime,
the sea, once it casts its spell, holds one in its net of wonder forever.
For that guy over there, Dan Rubenstein, myself, Ty Hildebrandt, thank you for joining us on the Twos Cruise. We will catch you all in a few short days. Ahoy!
Peace!